Christ. And the Bible is from cover to cover all about the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and his relationship to man. And just a short review. We talked about some of the Old Testament pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus in the Bible. And then we talked about some of the prophecies that are in there, particularly the ones that pertain to his birth. And then we went to the New Testament and actually looked at the account of Jesus Christ's birth. And it appears that it is most likely not December the 25th, but sometime in September or possibly October. Here we are in September. Happy birthday, okay? I believe the Lord was born sometime around this time of the year versus December the 25th. And I believe that if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we'll get better insight on how that actually happened and the time frame. So now I'd like to look at some of the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, the types or things that typify the Lord in the Old Testament before his birth. And we'll be in Genesis, but we're going to go around and look at some Scripture this morning. It's going to take some effort to look through some of these things, maybe more than usual. But I would start out in Genesis chapter 1. You might want to mark Genesis or hold your place there because we're going to keep coming back to it. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, one of the types of the Lord Jesus Christ is here in verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, and he created them." The first man is Adam. And actually, Adam is not mentioned by name until we get to like chapter 2, verse 19. We don't even know the name of this man that God created. But it is Adam. And he was created in the image of God. And he is the only one that was created in the image of God. We are created in the image of our parents. If you would look at chapter 5, verse 1. In Genesis, chapter 1, or chapter 5, 1 says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created him, in the likeness of God made he him." And I believe there is a subtle difference between the image and the likeness. And Adam was made in the image of God. And we're going to look at that in 1 Corinthians in a minute. But in the likeness of God, I believe we are all created in the likeness of God to the degree that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And we're a trichotomy, and God is also. He's triune. He has body, Jesus Christ. He has soul, God the Father. And the Spirit is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And so in that respect, I believe we're in his likeness. But Adam was created in his image. If you would, you can hold your place in Genesis. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see how Scripture, compared with Scripture, puts this in a perspective. So it's 1 Corinthians 15:45. And it says, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." That's the Adam that God created in his image. And then it says, "The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." That's the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He is the last Adam, a man that was begotten of God. Nobody was begotten of God until Jesus Christ first. Nobody was resurrected from the dead permanently with the indwelling Holy Spirit, but Jesus Christ first. But Adam is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the first man. Jesus Christ is the first man born of God. So these are some of the things that typify the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. If you would, we'll go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And it says here, after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. These coats of skins are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ also, because an animal had to die here to supply those skins. And that animal was most likely a lamb. The reference to that would be in Revelation 13:8, where it says that the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And I believe that's this animal, and the skins were that, and it is a typifies, or it's a type of Jesus Christ. If we went to Revelation 19:8, you would see that God's going to clothe mankind again. And this clothes is going to be white linen, the fine white linen that he clothes mankind after the tribulation, after the millennium, into the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. God is going to clothe us with fine linen, and it says it's the righteousness of the saints. So he started out clothing a man, and he ends up clothing a man. Amen? The next thing I'll look at again is in Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. This is another type of Christ in the Old Testament. And it says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. And through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And actually, I wanted to start in verse 14, so we'll go here. So he tells Noah, "Make thee an ark," and the ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood, and rooms shalt thou make in it, in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, third stories thou shalt make it." If we would go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, you will see where Peter talks about this ark that's being made. And he talks about it in reference to the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said that Noah and all of his entered the ark, and the Lord shut him in. That's the door we're talking about here in this verse. And, excuse me, Peter refers it to those that were in were saved by water. Now, water doesn't save anybody. They were saved from the water. They were in the ark, saved from the water. And then he said, this is a like figure. It's a like figure of baptism. Now, water baptism doesn't save anybody either, not in the New Testament age. And water baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we want to know the baptism that believers have, we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And why don't we go there? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Hold your place in Genesis, because we're coming back. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." It has nothing to do with water. It's a spiritual application. "And whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And that drinking is the indwelling Holy Spirit. And if you went to the book of John, and you looked at John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, he said he would give her water, and if she would drink of the water that he would give her, it would be, she would never thirst again. And so she says, "Give me that water." And he explains the story. And then again, he says in John chapter 7, Jesus is at the feast, and he cries out and said, "If any man thirst, come unto me, and he shall receive living waters unto everlasting life." And then in parentheses underneath that, it says, "But he spake this of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive, but he was not let glorified," so the Spirit was not there yet, but he was speaking in the future. And that was the drink that he was talking about, the Holy Spirit, and that's what it says here. We're put into one body in Christ through the Spirit the moment we believe Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior, and we drink of this Spirit forever. It's eternal. It's great. So, the ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while I'm there, the last time I was there, when I spoke about the Lord shut him in, I took the word shut, and I just did a little word study on shut. And this time I'd like to do a word study on the door. The door that was there at the ark. I find it interesting that the door is just a four-letter word, single-syllable word that any first grader should be able to read. And the Lord opens up his book. He opens up the Word of God with a simple word. You can just take a simple word. And so I'm gonna go through some of these doors that were in the Bible in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first door I'll go to would be John chapter 10, verse 9, where Jesus Christ said, "I am the door." Okay? He's the door, and he said, "If any man enter in, he shall have everlasting life," or "he shall be saved," is what it says. He shall be saved and be able to go in and out in the pasture. Jesus is the door, and here's the door of the ark. And so we'll go through some of these things about the door. I looked it up in my concordance, and I didn't count exactly, but the word door is mentioned about 170 times in the Bible. Now, I didn't record them all, but I just picked a few, about 10 or so. And the first door that I would like to look at is back in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1. In chapter 4, verses 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I have begotten a man of the Lord." Verse 2 says, "And she bare, again she bare his brother Abel." I believe at this point right here that Cain and Abel, because it's only mentioned that she knew her husband once, that they may be twins. They may have been born at the same time. If that is the case, there's a whole lot of implications here. I'm not going to get into them, but it's something to think about. And it says, "And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground of an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof." And here comes the first two religions in the world. First one's by faith, bringing the lamb. The second one is by works. Man's desire to work his way for his own righteousness. "But unto Cain," in verse 5, "and unto his offering, he had no respect." God did not. "And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." He was angry. He was also prideful, and he's also envious. These things will get you. And the Lord says in verse 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Jesus Christ is the door. The first time sin or door is mentioned in the Bible, first mention is right here in this verse. Also, it's the first mention of the word sin. Sin lieth at the door. It's interesting how the Lord puts the door in these accounts. If you would, we're in Genesis here. If we go to Genesis, I believe it's 18. I didn't write my verse down, but I'm believing it's chapter 18, I'm sorry. Yeah. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him," Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground." The presence of God is at the door. Okay? Jesus Christ is the door. The presence of God is there. Sin lieth at the door. The presence of God lies at the door, is at the door. We'll go through these, trying to get them all done here, if you would. Genesis 19, verse 6. This is the account of Lot in Sodom. And it says in verse 6, and Lot went out the door unto them, and he shut the door after him. And these are the Sodomites out there. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And these men wanted to know the angels that were behind the door. And verse 9 says, and they said to him, stand back. And they again said, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them, the angels. And they pressed sore upon him, the man, even Lot, and they came near to break the door. These Sodomites had no regard for God. You can read that in Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they glorified not God. They also wanted to break the door. They would today still like to break the door, Jesus Christ, okay? And it says in verse 10, but the men, the angels, put forth their hand, and they pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And then the men, and then they smote the men, the angels, they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And anybody that's in the position that these Sodomites are in cannot see the door. They can't see it. They're blind. Okay? Because they have taken upon themselves, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And then they get the recompense of their sin in their own body, which Romans chapter 1 says. Interesting how God can take just the little word door and just open up his word here. Okay, we'll go to the next book, Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 23. This is the Passover in Egypt. Verse 23 starts off, where the Lord will pass through and to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two sides of the posts, the Lord will pass over the door. Death passes over the door here to those that are in Jesus Christ. Just like a Noah in the ark. Death passed over him because he was in the ark. And he was not bound to sin that was going to destroy the whole world. And so the door here is associated with the Passover, where the Lord saves those who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. While we're in Exodus, let's go to Exodus. Well, I'll just read it. Exodus 29:4, if you want to look it up yourself, it's the consecration or the sanctification of the priests at the temple in Israel. And sanctification is what we have in the New Testament. Jesus is our sanctification. We are also supposed to walk a sanctified life in our own. Sanctified is just set aside for the Lord. He's made us holy and he's set us aside for the Lord, those that are believers. So sanctification takes place at the door. In Leviticus 16:6, atonement takes place at the door. You can read it in the temple. The priests go there, and the high priest is sprinkled with blood for his sins, and he sprinkles blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies for the sins of those in the congregation or in the nation of Israel, and that's an atonement. It's being at one with God. And the atonement takes place at the door. in Joshua 19, verse 51, the promised land, which is the kingdom of heaven, is divided at the door. The door is there. The Lord is there when all these things take place. Simple little four-letter word that shows us where the Lord is in respect to some of these accounts that he puts us to read and to know and to understand. If you would, we'll go to New Testament now. You may hold your place here in Genesis. We may be able to make it back there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6. Oh, I'm in Mark, sorry. This is the Sermon on the Mount. It has a significant doctrinal significance, but we're talking about some of the spiritual things that we can use or apply or devotional things. And verse 6 says in chapter 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." Not only is sanctification at the door, but atonement's at the door, prayer is at the door, and the door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor gives us a little footnote on this one. If you would, we'll go to Mark chapter 11, verse 4, please. And also Matthew 21. So in Mark 11, 4, the Lord is, this is, I would say this is what we call Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry of the Lord into the nation of Israel, into Jerusalem. And it says in verse 4, the Lord commanded them to do something, and they went their way and found a colt tied to the door without, in a place where two ways meet, and they loosed him. The colt was at the door. Now, Pastor gives us, like I said, I don't know the significance of all of these, but Pastor gives us a footnote here in Matthew 21. At the footnote at the bottom of the chapter of Matthew 21, Pastor's footnote says, "The ass's colt pictures the conversion of a lost man. The colt was tied in bondage to sin, and he needed to be loosed from sin. The colt was by a door without a place where the two ways meet. Jesus Christ is the door. The two ways represent the right way to eternal life and the wrong way to everlasting life. You have the narrow way, and which is straight, and you have the broad way, which leads unto death." So he puts here, the only way to eternal life is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the door. And then the colt was brought to Jesus by his disciples. That's our job. That's every disciple's job. That's a believer, is to bring unconverted men to the Lord. Because the Lord had need of him. The Lord needed people to receive him so that they could be with him forever. The Lord doesn't need anything. But he needed us to be disciples, and he needs the unconverted man to be regenerate so that he can be with Christ forever. The colt was clothed with royal garments then, the righteousness of the saints, the fine linen. And then the Lord controlled the colt, and we are his servants. Everything in the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll go to two more verses here. Acts chapter 5, verse 9. Acts chapter 5, verse 9. This is the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And in verse 9, it says, "Then Peter said unto her, Sapphira, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Death lies at the door. Okay? Sin lies at the door, the atonement, the sanctification, prayer, and death. Yes? Sure. Oh. Atonement was in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 6. Okay? Provided I can read my own handwriting. All right, so we're in Acts chapter 5, verse 9, and I said death lieth at the door, and one more verse here would be in James chapter 5. I'll start in verse 7. It says, chapter 5, verse 7, and James, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. That's what we have here. He's talking about a farmer. And he says, so, in verse 8, he said, be ye also patient like a farmer would be. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This is the second time he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Verse 9 says, and grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Okay? Judgment's coming, and the door is going to be there. I remember when I learned to read, because I'm saying that a first grader, six-year-old, can read these words. We prove it here every year in the school. When I was in the first grade, 6 years old, that was about 65 years ago. I still remember it, brother. And they teach you to learn your letters, ABCs. Then they teach you the vowel sounds. Then they teach you how the consonants are. And then they put them in words structure, and then they give you a reader, a primer, a reader. And my primer, my reader, the first reading book that I can remember that I got said, and you're learning to read, it says, my dog is Spot. Right? Spot can run. See Spot run. Run, Spot run. Okay? I remember it. Now just imagine if we, parents, grandparents, would take our children when they're 6 years old, and when we taught them to read, we'd say, Jesus said, I am the door. And then we tell them, but sin lieth at the door. And then we tell them, but death lieth at the door. But salvation is through the door. And then the doors of heaven are opened wide. Okay? If I can remember what I remembered 60-some years ago in a primer in public education, we should certainly be able to do this for our children. The Bible opens up the Word of God to everybody for everything. All right, I'll try to finish this up. There's a couple of more types here. If you would, we'll go to Genesis again, chapter 22. I'm trying to beat that clock. I'll get a couple of young boys that can stand on top of each other's shoulders or hang over there. We'll hold them by the feet and let them peel that off. We probably need some batteries. All right, Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tested him. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. Reminds me of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Isaac is a picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now in this picture, he was his only begotten Son. But God himself provided a sacrifice or an offering. He provided for the sinner the Lamb of God for a substitute, Jesus Christ. The Bible, all these types are about the Lord Jesus Christ. One more we'll go to. Well, I won't even go there. There's so much information here. Is from Genesis chapter 37 to Genesis chapter 50 is about the account of the patriarch Joseph. It's all about his life and where he's been and what he's done. And I have recorded here that there are over 150 different similarities between Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was the second in the nation of Egypt, which Jesus Christ is the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He's the second in the Trinity. Joseph was bought for silver. Jesus was bought for silver. There's account after account after account. It would take a long time to read all these, but I'll just say that there are over 150 similarities in the Old Testament. And I will end on this, if you would, Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 44. A familiar verse. We've read it and read it and read it. But Luke 24:44 says, "And he said unto them," Jesus, "these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you before the crucifixion." And now we're talking about the resurrection here. "That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses." All these accounts were in Genesis. Moses wrote. He's the prophet. Some of them are prophetic. Some of them are spiritual or devotional. They were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at some other things the next time. The difference between God the Father and God the Lord Jesus Christ. One makes himself known. The other does not. And we get to know who God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I'll close. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this day in our lives. And thank you for the opportunity to serve you here. Lord, we're looking forward to the day that you come back and take us all home to be with you. And we do all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.